Welcome back to Flashpoint Live, the week's news and perspective. I'm Sam Sorbo of TrueFeminist.com, together with Marius Forte. 800-876-4123 is the number, 800-876-4123. We're joined for this segment by a special guest. Alvaro Vargas Llosa is a senior fellow at the Independent Institute, and he's also the author of Global Crossings. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. We want to get right into it. Let's see. What criteria would you endorse for the U.S. as a good immigration policy?
Well, I think we need to learn the lessons of the past. In other words, there have been many attempts in the past at immigration reform in, 65, 86, even in the mid-90s. All of them proved unable to anticipate the future. In other words, they took care of an immediate problem, a short-term problem, but they were not able to take care of the problem that took place subsequently. In other words, a new wave of newcomers that ended up in the shadows. So I think this time what we need to do is obviously take care of the people who are already illegal immigrants, but we also need to establish a more flexible system so that we won't end up in the same place 10, 15 years from now. That's, I think, the overwhelming priority. And that means we have to be more careful about those quotas that I think were just not realistic. And we have to be more careful so that certain types of immigrants, for instance, high-skilled immigrants, are able to come in, much more easily than before. I think those barriers that were placed were just, more harmful to the U.S. than they were to them, so to speak.
Are you saying immigrant problem that we face today is because our immigration policy wouldn't allow for that?
Yes, I think, what was happening was basically there were some very unrealistic quotas, in other words, ceilings on different types, different categories of immigrants. And clearly those were not in tune with the demands of the economy, which is essentially what happened. So clearly the demand and supply dynamic was not connected to those quotas and ceilings that were established by legislation. And so what tended to happen is what usually happens when there is a disconnect between the law and reality, which is a black market emerges. And this is essentially what's happened now. We have a huge black market, which is not in goods, but in humans, so to speak. And so this needs to be taken care of course, by bringing people out of the shadows, but also by establishing rules for the future that I think are more flexible. In other words, it's very difficult to anticipate, 5, 6, 7 years from now, exactly what the demands of the economy will be. So we need something that is more flexible, that is more in tune with the evolving realities of the market and the economy. And I think that will be much more helpful than trying to anticipate at this point the exact number of people the U.S. will be needing. Unfortunately, in the bill that has been approved, although it is, I think, better than what we have, and certainly it does have some flexibility, we're still seeing some quite sort of rigid numbers that may or may not be, overtaken by reality, say, 5, 10 years from now.
Let me ask you a question. In a nutshell, if you could write brand new legislation for immigration as of today, old laws don't exist, we throw them out. In your opinion, what could that be like?
You mean if everybody was thrown out?
No. You said if we throw out all the old regulations, and if the possibility to write brand new legislation, you're not tied to anything in the past, you can write brand new legislation, what would that legislation, from your point of view, what should that look like looking forward?
Well, what I would do is I would try to separate the security issue from the immigration issue. The two are, of course, tied up, because I think that the politics of this really dictates that it be so. But I think it's better if we separate the two things. Obviously, we need a very effective security policy. We need very effective counterterrorism policy. I don't think that should hang on immigration policy the way it does now. So if we do have very effective counterterrorism policy and very effective security policy, we will not be seeing you know, people coming in that should not have been coming in, all the people that were part of the attacks on U.S. soil in the last 15, 20 years came in not because we have defective immigration policy, but they came in because of failures of essentially intelligence and security. So that's one very
well. They also came in legally. They also came in legally, so they went through the system, and obviously the system let them come in. But what I'd like to know from your point of view, sir, is how would you go forward if you could write brand new legislation? Who would you want to come in what numbers?
The premise I was establishing is very important, because they came in legally because of a failure of intelligence. They came from countries that were not on the list of sponsors of terrorism. And, of course, in a day and age in which terrorism is a moving target, then maybe that's not a realistic way to do it. But once we take care of that, then what I would do is I would not establish ceilings. I would essentially establish a more flexible and free system whereby if people have work, if people have a certain guarantee of work in the United States and their employers willing to employ them, then I would not establish ceilings, and I would try and be as flexible as possible. I think what we would see is a dynamic that's very similar to what we see in illegal immigration today. In other words, in times of bonanza, we will see a lot more people coming in. In times of recession, we'll see a lot of people going back out. From 2005 to 2010, we saw a drop in net immigration to literally zero. In other words, if you take into account those coming in and those going out, you were down to zero in net immigration terms. So I think we would see
But today we do have record. Today we do have record unemployment numbers in America, and that's why my question to you was, how would you write legislation today, taking everything into account that we know today about the economy, about security, which is obviously a part of immigration, a very important part of immigration. You cannot have an open border on one side and think we are secure. Obviously we're not. How would you write, if you have a total free hand, legislation today?
Exactly the way I was telling you. I would not establish quotas or ceilings. I would say people who have a guarantee of work can come in. And I think what you would see is the demand for them would be much lower than it was in 2007 or 2006. So the numbers coming in would not be very high at this point. They would be very high later on, of course, depending on how well the economy was doing. And I would separate the security issue from the immigration issue.
Right.
Because if you...
No, I was agreeing with you. Separate the security issue in as much as it can be successful, but it's not successful. So seeing that we have a failure of security, maybe we should just shut down the borders and not allow any immigration until we can get our security things in line.
Well, that's the problem with that. In some ways, the bill, the current bill that's been approved, does that because it conditions the transit to permanent residence for currently illegal immigrants on apprehending about, I think it's 90% of those trying to sneak in. Right now, you're seeing a 50% rate of apprehension. In other words, only half of them are being apprehended. So
right.
I think it's very unrealistic to think you're going to get to 90% unless, of course, you establish a system that really seals off the borders completely and absolutely, and you establish something that's just not going to be, you know, a democracy anymore under the rule of law. I mean, it's clearly kind of system that's not compatible with the essential values of the United States. So I think we have to be careful there not to condition one thing on the other, which is what I meant by separating the two things.
But they are conditioned. You can say let's not condition it, but they are conditioned. And I'm not talking about illegal immigrants. I'm talking about security risks. And the security risks came in legally. So clearly our security system is failing. And that has to be fixed before we can even talk about bringing more people in and allowing more people legally or illegally. We have a failure of security.
Isn't it the case that the chances of getting the bad guys would be much greater if you could have everybody operating within the legal system? If you have a lot of people in the shadows, the chances of the bad guys getting in, I think, are greater. That's the problem right now. Many of the people that are in the shadows, of course, are perfectly law-abiding citizens, except for the fact that they're violating immigration law. If you made immigration law less prone to establishing this two-tier system where you have some people operating legally and some people operating illegally, I am sure law enforcement would be in a much better position to monitor everybody and to go after the wrong kinds of people. Otherwise, right now you have a system that facilitates, the operation of bad guys within the shadows in which a lot of the illegal immigrants are operating.
Yeah, that's interesting. Except, see, you mentioned yourself that the perpetrators of the larger acts of violence are all legal.
Yeah, which is, I think, again, a failure of intelligence and of law enforcement. I mean, one of the guys in 9/11, you remember Mohammed Atta, got into Miami, and he had been here. He had overstayed a tourist visa before he was allowed back in. Well, clearly, he should have been on a list that should have raised alarms and not been allowed back in.
Tamerlan was on a list.
Sorry?
Tamerlan was on a list. Tsarnaev.
Well,
they investigated him.
Of the 48 Al Qaeda operatives that have been involved in attacks on the U.S. between 1993 and 2001, about a third were residents or citizens, and another third had visas, and then another third were essentially illegals. So clearly there was a problem there because those people should have been on counterterrorism list, and they were not. And I think if you got that right, this would not be an immigration issue. Otherwise, the only way to prevent that mistake from happening is literally not allowing anybody in. I mean, can the U.S. realistically afford something like that? It's just too drastic.
No, of course not. But let me understand your point. Do I understand you correctly that you said you would only allow people in that basically have a job secured before their entry? Is that correct?
Well, yes. I mean, obviously, immediate relatives as well. That's a different issue. The issue of family reunification. I think this bill is much better than previous attempts at solving this problem because it does establish limitations. I think it takes siblings out of the equation, and it only concentrates on the children and parents and so forth. I'm not really worried about that part. I'm just worried about the fact that there may be times, I mean, not right now with such high unemployment, but there will be times a few years from now where demand for those workers will be higher than the quotas that have been established in the bill. You know, 110,000 for certain types, 120,000 for other categories. I think those numbers are just not realistic. And if that happens, if that disconnect happens, what tends to happen is that a black market immediately thrives under those conditions. So we will see ourselves again a few years down the line with another, you know, a few million people operating in the shadows. I think that's the problem that we need to prevent.
Mr. Losser, we have to take a short break. It's a hard break. Mm-hmm. We would love if you could stay with us in the second segment just for a few more moments because this is a very,
sure.
very important issue, I think, for all of us. And I am one of those immigrants. I'm Austrian. I'm from Vienna. I immigrated
to
America about 25 years ago. That's what my... we'll talk
this
about that during
Point
the break.
Live. Sam Sorbo, Marius Forte, our guest is Mr. Losser. We'll be back after the break. 800-876-4123.
Sam Sorbo, Marius Forte, Flashpoint Live. Flashpoint Live.
Hello, we're back. Flashpoint Live. I'm Sam Sorbo of TrueFeminist.com together with Marius Forte and also our special guest, Alvara Vargas Llosa, who wrote the book Global Crossings, dealing with immigration policy.
And we just had a conversation about the screening process. If we could change the whole system. And my question to Mr. Losser in the break was also, he starts from scratch, he writes new legislation, who would he let in, when would he let him in, and who would he not let in? Welcome back to the show, Mr. Losser.
Thank you. Well, so essentially what I was saying is I would let in anybody who is able to get a job, whether they get a job first and then come in, or come in first and then get a job. I don't think there's a huge difference between the two, because essentially once people
can I just ask you a question?
Okay. Yeah.
I understand now. There's 100 million Chinese that want to come in.
Yeah, but you see, it wouldn't happen that way. I think essentially what you would see is a dynamic that's very similar to what we're seeing in the illegal market right now, which is in times of bonanza, you would see a higher number of people, and in times of recession, the other way around. I don't think at this point it's politically feasible to say let them come in first and find a job next. So probably doing it the other way around is more realistic politically. I mean, more viable politically at this point. But essentially, it would amount to the same thing. If you look at what's happening with illegals right now, you're seeing a very tiny portion of those people actually not working and living off somebody else entirely. The overwhelming majority of them are working, because what they do is they enlarge the economy. They add to the economy, as we know, because of the division of labor and blah, blah, blah. But essentially, most people work anyway. So, which is what I was saying, even if they came in first and got a permit later, we would still see the same dynamic. In other words, most of them would be working. But I don't think that's politically feasible.
I must tell you, we only have a short time, but I differ with you, because, of course, if they come in and they cannot find a job, what do they live off? They have to live off something. I think a job guarantee is a great idea of yours. I think first they have to line up a job, then they come in. If you have 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 5 million, 10 million people coming in who cannot find a job, what is their option? They don't have an option.
Not only that,
now they're
in the
country.
But the bill that's before the Senate right now is basically amnesty for the 15 million illegals already here, and gives them the opportunity to bring their families over. And that's another 52 million people, of which perhaps even 32 million will be competing for jobs in the United States. We have a job crisis as it is, so I'm not sure I'm on board with any of that. But thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay.
Alvaro Vargas Llosa. His book is Global Crossings. The website is globalcrossingsbook.com. Thank you so much for joining us.